everyone in New York City. I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and listener, shortwave and scanner listeners that is heard on the N2R Adobe system every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this event is to provide a general discussion forum for those interested in all the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. So we cover all the frequencies that you can tune into, from DC all the way up to light, and everything else in between, except for amateur radio. And that's because we can talk about amateur radio at any other time during the week. So on this map, we're going to talk about who's on these various frequencies that are outside of the amateur radio bands, what equipment you would need to tune in those frequencies, and whatever other information is necessary for you to understand what you're receiving and to make the hobby a little bit more enjoyable for you. We have the basic ground rules for this event. One, the N2ROW system is made up of about a dozen different repeaters across the tri-state area, with participants and listeners stretching from Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and wherever else they can pick up the signal. Because it is a linked repeater system, when you key up, please key up and pause for a second or two before you begin to speak. Otherwise, the beginning parts of your transmission will get cut off. As you're checking in, please give your call sign, name, and location. And please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. By traffic, we're talking about any comments or questions you want to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, please say the words "no traffic," and this way we'll go on to the next person. If you're not able to get in on the air, please use our email address, which is nycxa@yahoo.com. So we're going to stand by for check-ins. Please space it out so everybody has a chance to check in, and we don't get people stepping on each other. This is N2LB.
Charlie, WHSQQ, Bob in Elmwood Park. No traffic at the moment. I'll be checking email.
GLW, Gordon and I'm walking the dog. We'll be monitoring.
NOV, OQA20KZ, Ken in Cranford, New Jersey. No traffic.
RWA to IWC, Manhattan. Traffic.
Last year here, but because of the delay in construction down there, they're going to have it again this year. So for those of you who like to look at it or photograph it or whatever, it will happen. Back to you, Charlie.
Okay, very good, Bob. Yeah. I have a professional photographer's shot of that. What was his name? Joseph Poborowski or something like that. He's taken a shot from, Liberty State Park, past the Statue of Liberty, and up into downtown Manhattan. Literally, I think, weeks before the attack at 9/11. And then make sure that he was in the same spot when they first put those lights on and took the same shot again. So I have the two pictures side by side. We use that as one of the slides in the PowerPoint presentation that we give to various hanging clubs when they want to know what happened on 9/11 and how did, you know, everything work or not work. So, yeah, if people have the opportunity to get that shot themselves, you know, it's definitely something to have. It's quite a reminder. It's just a shame that we've got some people, even in the amateur radio world, those who have titles and whatnot, who like to tell people, oh, forget about 9/11. Well, because they weren't here or they weren't part of it. And those of us that were, we remember. And we're not going to forget. So, thanks for that reminder, Bob. And that's definitely an opportunity for people to try and get if they can. All right, let's see. Next one to set the air traffic is Don. W2IWC and Toronto Bay. Send on.
Okay, in Toronto Bay, W2IWC. Good evening to everybody on the net. I don't have too much, just a couple of quickie things. One, I wanted to say thank you and what a great job Bob WA2SQQ did when he ran the net a couple of weeks ago. He really had a wonderful net and gave a lot of useful information, and it was very much appreciated. And likewise to Greg, just stepping up to the plate there last week, totally impromptu, and he did a very nice net. I really enjoyed it. So we're lucky to have a lot of good people on this net that can just take over in a pinch. The second item is I got an email from Radio Reference today announcing a few new scanner feeds in South Texas, but they also announced that infrastructure changes were coming in September, and I wonder if you have any clue what they mean by that. I don't think that, I know they just made another change to SOAP, and they're up to version 5, but I don't believe that that's what they were referring to, so I wonder if you have any ideas on that, Charlie. Back to net.
That was quite a lengthy email I sent out this morning on that. Lindsay Blanton, the owner of Radio Reference, announced that over the course of the next few weeks, hopefully to be finished by the end of September, so I've totally switched over the Radio Reference site to be part of the Amazon cloud system. Basically, what they're doing is Amazon's using their vast server farm to provide services. And with multiple servers all running in parallel, feeding information to people who come in through a web front end and get handled through a web proxy server. So they're taking some of the stuff out, and some of the audio feeds are already on these servers. He's going to be moving them all over there. All the databases, all the forums, everything eventually is going to be part of this service.
it does cost a little bit more, it'll be a lot more robust, less chance of it going down. And also, one of the problems that he's had over the past couple of years is that as more and more people have been using the service at the same time, has put so much of a load on the service that he had to keep expanding it. And even after he recently expanded it, all of a sudden it was getting choked again because there's so many people on it. So he figures this is going to be a better way of handling everything, and part of the way these hosted cloud systems are, that it will turn servers on and off as needed. So it's like, virtually turning things on and off across the system. So if all of a sudden there's a big load of people that are using it all at the same time, instead of having 10 servers simultaneously handling traffic, all of a sudden it'll grow to 15. And then when the people drop off, they start shutting down the unused system and making it available for other clients that need to use that part of the cloud. I hope that explains it.
That explains it beautifully, wonderfully well, Charlie. We don't expect any less out of you, so you did a great job, and thank you. He certainly did get my curiosity up. I guess I have one more item. I'm going to be borrowing a friend's Opto Scout to try to find the radios at the apartment building across the street, because even the latitude-longitude search didn't yield anything that looked interesting, so it's going to be, I think, the only way to do it. Any hints and tips for getting the best results out of the Scout for doing the close call stuff? And with that, I'll turn it back to Net, and that'll be that for me, so I can let somebody else get a word in edgewise.
Give you a few tips. I had one. Use a tuned antenna. By that I mean, if you know they're on UHF, then get a UHF antenna and put it on there. The problem with OptoScout is it's close in frequency, but it's not always exact. So it'll give you, you'll be able to tune it in fairly close, but with 12 and a half inches of channels and so on, it may or may not. I actually found that the RadioShack, a different model of it, but about 2 years ago, on Black Friday, they were selling that scanner for $49 with close call. That radio's close call works 100 times better than the OptoScout. So I wound up selling my OptoScout about a year and a half ago, and find that I get much more use out of the scanner with the close call on it. But use a tuned antenna, and it'll favor that frequency. You don't want to use a large antenna. You're much better off with a smaller one.
Oh, very good. Very good, Bob. Thank you very much. And what scanner were you referring to? It got kind of lost.
I'm sorry, I don't have the model number. In fact, it's probably in the car, but Charlie, you may remember it. About 2 years ago, they were selling it on Black Friday for $49. It's a relatively inexpensive 200 channel antenna, but it's got close call in it. Let me tell you, close call is tremendous. It works so much better than the OptoScout. You recall what the model was, Charlie? Not too sure, Bob, but for some reason the number 83 comes to mind. That might be it. It might be the Pro 83. I'll take a quick look around here and see if I can put my fingers on it, but they don't sell any longer, so it's kind of a moot point. But you can find a lot of scanners today with close call on them for less than the OptoScout would cost you, and they work better. You know, to your point, Bob, about the OptoScout being off frequently, the difference is that the OptoScout is basically a frequency counter, and then when you're receiving a signal, especially if it has a transmit appeal tone on top of voice, you're going to see the frequency actually shift. Okay, because that's FM. So it could shift as much as, let's say, 5 kHz off of what the carrier is. When using a scanner that has a close call feature, it accounts for
voice, the wider the DBA, the wider the bandwidth, the more it's going to be off frequency when you're trying to receive it.
Yeah, no, I recognize that, but cryptoscopes are not cheap. I think when I bought it, it was about $250 or $300. I mean, it wasn't cheap, and it works, don't get me wrong. I found a lot of stuff with it, but for a lot less money, you can get a radio with post call on it, and it's a lot more usable. So in case anybody was thinking of buying an optoscope, that's the way to do it.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing that the PL would cause a 5KC. You know, most commercial stuff is 750 cycle deviation on the PL, so. But, you know, the OptoScout is a broadband animal, to say the least, and I wouldn't expect it to be right on all the time. But thanks for the information. I appreciate it. You know, don't go breaking your neck looking for the model number of that scanner. You just had my curiosity up. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Back to net, W-H-Y-W-C.
Oh, Don, I was referencing when somebody's speaking on the frequency. The voice deviation gets added into the equation as far as the swing off of carrier. And then you get the PL on top of that.
Yeah, makes sense. I can understand that.
Square button, the most right square button. You press it in and you hold it down while you turn it on. I should just download the operating instructions. That's probably the best way to do it. The other thing that you can do is, if you turn the unit on and you look at the frequency display when it's not receiving a signal, it will kind of hover in a particular area of the spectrum. And it'll give you an idea as far as the antenna that you have on there, where it's resonant. So if you turn this thing on and you're seeing frequencies in the 600-700 meg region, you know that's where the antenna is pretty much tuned. And what I've actually done is I've taken a small telescoping whip and I put it on there and was actually able to lengthen or shorten the antenna and change that ambient frequency, so to speak, and get it in the range that I wanted to have the most sensitivity in. And then you go, well, you know, walking around with it. Hang on one second. So you understand how it works. It's looking at broadband RF, and it's going to find a frequency which is approximately 15 to 20 dB higher than the ambient noise level. So if you have a large antenna on there, your noise level is going to be, you know, very high, and to get a hit, it's going to be that much harder. This is one of the reasons why, you know, that little, what do they call it, micro baby or whatever, I still have the antenna. In fact, it's sitting right here in front of me. It's about an inch long, and it's really nothing more, I think, than a resistor inside of it. But the idea with that is that it's a very low capture, and the ambient noise level is low, so that it's going to pick up almost any signal, which is 15 to 20 dB above the noise.
Yeah, well, that makes sense to me, Bob. WHYWC. I got to see what array of antennas my friend has for it. I know they also have some filters, etc. All right, I don't want to belabor it anymore because everybody else is going to fall asleep here, and there's a couple of other people with traffic, I believe. So I thank you, the rest of you, for your indulgence, and I'll turn it back to Charlie. WHYWC.
Okay, no problem, Scott. This is what the net's purpose is to provide the information, and, yeah, that's what we're doing. Yeah, it's all related to the radio hobby. One last point on what you had brought up before. Both of the weeks that either Bob or Greg and 2BQQ conducted the net, I've been tied up on a hardware and software project the past 2 weeks, so I'm happy that somebody was able to pick up the net, and yes, both guys did a great job, because from my desk, I was listening on Echolink. The first week I tried to get in, but I was like on and off, and was able to make it Monday night, because the project had me going every single night, and last Wednesday, the audio was choppy, and I recorded the audio and emailed it off to the system administrator that has the Echolink cut into the system, NB2A. So there's probably some audio and PL problems. That's why I was unable to get in last week. But yes, they did do a great job, and hey, just everybody sharing your information. I've known Greg for over 10 years. Bob's been with us on this net for just about the whole 17 years that this net's been running. And these guys know what to do, so I have no problem leaving it in good hands. All right, let's move down the list. Next one up is Bob up in Connecticut, N1MLZ, N2NOB.
Hey, Charlie, good evening to you. Everybody else on the list, you. Yeah, that is the Pro 83, by the way, this is correct. I own two of them. You can get them a dime a dozen on eBay. I'll tell you, they're pretty cheap on eBay. If you really get one, probably less than the $40 or $50 that they were going for at Thanksgiving that year. And I do own the BC-246, also the Bravo Charlie 246 by Uniden. And the better one, the reason why I own it, you know, it has a better close call, it holds the frequency once it catches it. With the Pro 83, you have to quickly press the button to stop it, to hold it, to view which frequency it is. The BC-246 will actually find it. I looked at all the emails, my thousands and thousands of emails. I searched. I thought maybe it was in there from one year, last year or something, but I'll find out.
Well, that might be a problem this year, Bob, because the latest report that I heard is when somebody went searching in the UHF band where they were last year on those different business frequencies, what they heard was all sorts of digital buzzing, which some of us think that it's Motorola Turbo in the new digital.
Thanks for last week, Greg. I was listening to the whole thing on Echoing. It was my pleasure. I'm on a portable again out in the field. I don't know. Am I making it?
Yes, fine for now.
Okay, very good. In addition to the borough-wide channel, anybody who's planning on attending or interested in monitoring the event, you're 100% correct. It is not going to be conducted on the local zone channel. They have officers detailed to the event for the duration of the event. So they're not going to be operating on precinct. But the highway patrol officers from Highway 3, who covers the adjoining parkway, will be using the traffic channel for the detail while it's running. So you can also throw that into the mix as well if you're interested in traffic reports coming to and from the stadium.
Okay, great. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Because I would expect a lot of people to be driving back and forth to that. I can't see people who can afford tickets to an event like that riding the subway.
You're correct. A lot of vehicular traffic in and out of the top of the Arthur Ashe Stadium, the surrounding parking lot. Again, thank you for the kudos from yourself and from the first station.
Okay, Greg. Thanks a lot, and you actually have deeper knowledge of some things than I do, but we'll just leave it there. Anywho, we've reached the bottom of our list, so stand by for additional check-ins or additional traffic. Again, if you're not able to get in on the air, please use our email, which is nybxa@yahoo.com. This is S-106. Okay, I'm not hearing anything. SQQ, anything else come in the email?
Not at all, Charlie. That's it on there, so I think that'll be it. Hey, Charlie, I got a question for you, because I don't roam around lower Manhattan too often, but that issue with 9/11, I've been photographing that every year since the first year. I got a very nice collection of photos, and if anybody wants to see any of them, I've got some of them up online, and I can point you to groups where they're posted, but I'm gonna photograph it again this year, and I think this year what I want to do is I'm going to go over actually to New York, and I want to shoot it straight up, so to speak. If I take the ferry from Jersey City, it leaves me off at the Financial Center. If my memory serves me correctly, from the Financial Center, it should be, what, maybe about a 1 or 2 block walk east from there?
Yeah, you're going to be right on West Street near Beach. Look for the World Financial Center north. It's south of the college, BMCC, south of Stuyvesant. But right on the corner of West Street is the northwest corner of the Trade Center complex.
Yeah, I knew it was pretty close, so I just wanted to check into that. Okay, very good. I'll share some photos with you there. 9/11 this year falls on a Friday, so I think if the weather is cooperative, it's not raining, it should be a pretty big turnout. Thank you. WHSQ.
And speaking of turnout, the next day down in Washington, D.C., there's going to be quite a crowd. Now, if you're going, bring your radios with you. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of traffic down there, both on the air and on the road. I've got a guy that I work with. He was asking for the best way to get around down there, since he knows that I take a lot of mass transit wherever I go. And we looked up for him, who's driving down to New Jersey. I'll get off at Silver Spring, Maryland, and jump on the red line, take that south to the middle of D.C., and then take the yellow line, whoever stop he has to get off at. So, it'll be an interesting day for anybody who goes down there. As far as 9/11 is concerned, Bob, I certainly hope that those who think this is something of the past smarten up, because this can easily become
become something in the future as well. I hope not, but if we're not prepared, who knows? Starting last night, the Spike TV channel, 10 o'clock on Tuesday, has a program that teaches you how to survive various disasters. And last night's episode was about hijacking of a plane by terrorists, and not necessarily that they come from a certain part of the world, but was educating you on what to look for, how to think, how to plan, how to work together, so that you can survive anything. Very well done program. I don't know if that episode could be repeated before next Tuesday, but check the listing. It's something I strongly encourage people to watch. Next week, I'm planning on covering some of the developments in the radio world having to do with digital, whether it be the newest stuff going on GRM, which is the medium wave and shortwave stuff, digital television, digital FM, and AM iBox system. So if you have any information or experiences and you want to share them, please put your notes together, and we're going to cover that next week. So that will say 7-3 to everybody. It's good to get out of that project. Good thing it only lasted 2 weeks and didn't drag on. And back here in front of the radio. So we'll catch you next week. And it's 108 Claire.